Thank you, Father. Father God, we just thank you. We magnify your name. And we thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight, each and every person that's watching us online. We thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void. But Father God, we thank you that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But we thank you most of all that we'll take forth the word that we hear that springs forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that we come not in our own strength. We come not in our own ability. We come not in ourselves, but we come in your power and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance with all boldness. And we thank you, Father, for the anointing of God that's here tonight. Father God, we serve that anointing up. We thank you that that anointing will penetrate and saturate us. And as that anointing gets a hold of us, it'll change us in an instant. We thank you if we came hurting, that that anointing will set us free, Father. Father God, we thank you for Mom and Dad and the Crusade team as they're starting tonight in Dubuque, Iowa. We thank you for lives being changed. We thank you for lives being healed, life being touched. We thank you, Father, for giving Dad and Mom strength. We thank you for touching Dad's back. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. And we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is a good God. So some of you might say, well, what are we going to minister on tonight? I don't know. I'm still praying about it. I'll get back to you. I actually was preparing one sermon. And then I realized and actually went to the, I went and checked it out by looking at the schedule, that I actually am scheduled to preach two Wednesday nights in a row, which is a pretty rarity for any of the associates or whatever. So I decided to do a two-part series, all right, because, you know, instead of just doing one message. And I decided actually to do something that I do quite a bit sometimes, but not always here in the local church, and that's to go back and speak on the basics of faith. In fact, the notes that I'm using comes from, I have a CD series out there called The Basics of Faith that I actually did back in the mid-90s, three CDs on faith. In fact, one of our... when I was traveling with the singers and band, in fact, one of our band members, our singers actually, said that it was one of the best, actually the best messages he's ever heard on faith. And in fact, he said at the time the series wasn't available for, you know, we didn't have it out in the bookstore, but he bought the three cassette tapes back at that time. And he sent them to his mom because his mom was going through some stuff and says, so my mom needs to hear it. Well, I'm here to tell you in the last 20 some odd years, I've got better. So if I was the best back then, I mean, think how much better I am today, you know. But really, you know, sometimes we as Christians, we forget about the basics. Now, I played sports growing up, and the biggest sport I played was football. Some of you guys probably played football. And, you know, around here, every August, usually, actually, the way practice started, the first day of August every year is usually 100 and something degrees. We would go out there and start football practice, you know, and the first things that the coach would always say is, we're going to go back to the basics. We're going to teach you how to block, how to tackle, and, you know, and we would go through stuff that we've been taught year after year after year. And it didn't matter, you know, from first grade all the way through 12th grade, all the way through, if you go through college, through the pro ranks. In fact, I believe the Dallas Cowboys right now are learning how to block and tackle because they haven't been doing it very well the last few weeks. You know, but you know, sometimes we have to go back to the basics. You know, in fact, you know, I don't know with modern technology now, but they used to say that that when you build a skyscraper, you actually have to dig down as deep in the soil as you're going up. You have to go that deep down. And so it's very important to get a strong foundation, but you can't have a strong foundation of the basics of faith if you never go back and you know, build up that foundation. And so we're going to look at some foundational scriptures that are in many of my grandfather's books. We're going to start out in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, because if you want to know about faith, you have to understand what it is. And Hebrews chapter 11 tells us this. And, you know, and I know most of you say, well, I've already heard these messages. You know, but faith doesn't come in by having heard. You know, and I know my grandfather, when he was alive, almost every meeting that we had with him, he would cover these messages over and over and over again. And I know he tells a story, and this is before my time, but he was doing a multi-week he was doing a multi-week meeting. Actually, it turned out to, I think, be 3 weeks. And what he was doing in the morning was he was preaching and speaking and teaching on the subject primarily of faith. And it got to the third week, and one of the gentlemen said, well, Brother Hagin, are you going to go any deeper? You know, or when are you going to go any deeper? You know, maybe this week. He said, well, you know, I'll go deeper on the subject of faith whenever you start getting it. Well, you know, interesting part about it is that he never went too much deeper. So, I mean, I guess that we just didn't get it, no matter how old we were. But Hebrews 11:1, reading from the New King James, says it this way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I want you to notice, first of all, it says that now faith is. When faith comes in, it's now, it's immediate, you have it. You don't have to look for it. You don't have to try to find it. You know, it's not like finding Dory or finding Nemo or whatever, or finding Waldo. Whenever you get faith, it's now. It's immediate. You have it. Now faith is. You know, we should have the now kind of faith. We should believe. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, some people actually think that faith and hope are the same things. They're not. All right? Faith is always present tense. Faith is always present tense. We have it. All right? Hope is always future tense. We're going to get it. I'm hoping I'm going to receive something. Whenever you have faith, you already have it. Now, the Bible says that by his stripes, we were healed. So we can have faith that we were healed 2,000 years ago because Jesus said so. In fact, you know, we have assurance of a lot of things because Jesus said so. You realize Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10, most of you know I quote that almost every time. All right? So if we're not having an abundant life, Jesus said so that we should have an abundant life. So I can have faith that I can have an abundant life, or I'm going to have an abundant life because Jesus said so. Now, hope is believing that maybe somehow I'll obtain something. You know, somehow, how am I going to get it? You know, hope is always future tense. It's always in the future. Now, I remember a number of years ago, back in the mid-90s, I was studying for a message on faith. And all of a sudden, it hit me one day that I had, well, see, here's the thing. Now, I always tell people now I'm a Googleologist. And I Google the wildest things, and I try to find out about everything. And I don't know what it is, I don't know why it is, but other people that have the same access to Google as I do, instead of going doing it themselves, they actually ask me to do it for them. My wife does this all the time. He said, hey, why don't you research this? I'm like, but I don't want to know about this. You do. So about 3 a.m, I'll tell her all about what I researched and, you know, and figured out about something that she asked me to research, which I didn't really care about at all because, you know, I have a lot of things I care about and I want to research about. But, you know, I've always been someone who always likes to research stuff. Now, before I had access to Google, I mean, you know, before Al Gore invented the internet, you know, way a long time ago, no, actually, the internet was invented, but when I was in college, you know, the internet was, I think I had a 1,200 baud modem, maybe 2,400 baud by that time. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's because that's that old. All right. AOL wasn't even invented yet. Somebody's like, what is AOL? That's even, you know. Shows you how old you really are. But you know, there wasn't high speed nothing. And even if you got online, all you saw was a green screen, and you could like type messages to people, but really couldn't get a whole lot. And you couldn't send the graphic or anything like that. And even if you could send one, it would take eons before someone would get it. You know, and you think your picture takes forever to get, you know, sometimes I can't, why is that picture not loading? Man, it's been 3 seconds, you know. Some of you used to, the old internet days, I mean, it might take an hour to load a picture, you know. So anyway, you know, before we really had access to Google, whenever I went to Oklahoma State University, I walked in on campus, I went to the student union, and there was this very nice lady at a table there, and she had a little tent, little thing. She worked for a company called Citibank. They give credit cards, if you don't know. I mean, you know, they don't just give credit cards, they actually cost you money to actually use their credit cards because you, long story short. So they were saying, you know, every student that applies, whether you get the credit card or not, we're going to give you these three handy books that you might use as a student. One of them was a dictionary. One of them was a thesaurus. One of them, I'm not sure what it was. I never used it. All right. But there were three books and a little handy dandy thing. And so I applied for the credit card. I took my three books. I got the credit card. The books have done me better than the credit card over the years. But anyway, that's that. So of the three books, I found that the dictionary was the most useful. It was the Webster's New World Dictionary. And even at all times, I had that dictionary around, and I'd look up words all the time. And then, you know, later on, as I started being a minister, I actually put that dictionary in my briefcase. And everywhere I went, I had a dictionary. So before I had Google, I had a dictionary. And then all of a sudden, I was going to preach one time in the mid-90s, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about all the words I looked up, and then it hit me. I've never looked up the word faith. Never. Ever. Because I figured, well, you know, I don't need to look up faith because, you know, now faith is, it's just there. I don't have to look it up. But I figured, you know what? Why not look up faith? We know maybe it will help me. And so I looked up the word faith and the first definition of the Webster's New World Dictionary. Now, there's other dictionaries, but this was the Webster's New World Dictionary. I think it was actually the 7th edition. I still have it. I should go to my briefcase and look it up, see if I still have it. But if you go to Walmart and go to especially beginning of school, whenever they have school supplies and stuff, they usually have the New World Dictionary out there. It's kind of the one that they use for academics. The first definition was complete trust or confidence, you know, and it, in parentheses, usually in God. And that's a normal, I mean, everyone kind of thinks that. I mean, that's the definition of faith, complete trust or confidence, even though that's good. You know, so that's confidence in God. But the next definition changed my life. It's faith is an unquestioning belief. An unquestioning belief. And I've shared that many times with you guys. You know, but the fact is that with faith, there is no question. So if you're asking, when is it going to happen? That's a question. If you're asking, why hasn't it happened yet? That's a question. If you're asking any kind of question, you're not in faith. So it's a pretty good statement to try to figure out if I'm in faith or not. Because see, now faith is, and when faith is now, I don't question. I don't ask how, I don't ask when, I don't ask where, I don't ask, you know, any questions. Why? How come? There is no question. Because with God, there is no question. He answers all the questions. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross and he said these words, "It is finished," he answered all your questions. Your sickness is finished. Your disease is finished. It's all finished. Just trust in me. So faith is an unquestioning belief. And I guarantee you that definition has changed my life because, you know, we're all human. Everyone here is human. And if you're not, then I guess you're a robot or an alien or whatever. I guess, you know, I mean, you know, the people do think aliens do exist, you know, but I'm sure most of you aren't. There might be a few of you I might be a little concerned about, but I'm assuming most of you. Now, in a couple of days, we're going to have a holiday, and a few of you might turn into aliens, and you know, but that's okay. It's only for one night. You know, that's your costume. But there are some people that wear their costume every day, and you kind of wonder about them. But we're all humans, all right? And human nature sometimes is the question. is ask, why is it not happening? But that's not faith. So faith actually goes against human nature. All right, but God's laws go against human nature. Human nature can't figure out God's laws. I mean, God's laws just work. You know, we actually have a CD series out there with my grandfather called Faith That Works. And some of you might not know that, you know, you kind of see me up here and think this is my only job. It's not my only job. One of my jobs is to pick out the covers on and all our CD series and all our books. You know, that's one of my jobs to do that. Now, I don't create them. Sometimes, you know, we have to go back and we ask, well, can you do this? Can you do that? So we were working on a CD series, you know, Now Faith Works. And so we're trying to figure out, well, how do you show that faith just works? You know, so I actually went and said, you know, well, it just works. You know, it's like a light bulb that just turns on. You know, and they found a picture of a light bulb that's on, that's like turned over and it's not even plugged in, but it just works anyhow. You know, I thought, well, that describes, you know, what I'm thinking. Faith that works, it just works. Because it's God. God just works. You know, so you've heard the statement, God works in mysterious ways, but I don't care what ways he works, he just works. And whenever you believe in God, you believe that it's yours, even whenever you don't see it. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. I don't have to see it. All right, I'm not like Doubting Thomas. I don't have to put my finger in his hands because I've read the Bible. I know what the Word of God says. And you know, when I grew up, you know, day after day, and my grandfather always says, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? God says it, I believe, and that settles it. So if God says it, then I can have faith because I believe God's Word. And I don't care what kind of human or alien or devil or whatever tries to tell me something different. If it's contrary to God's Word, it's wrong. Because God's Word's always right. And if God's Word is right, then I can believe no matter whether I see it or not, because I can have faith before I see it. Because faith is my evidence. It's the evidence of things not seen. See, there's going to be some things that you have, but you don't see it, and that's just faith. That's how faith works. Now, I have determined that people that know this faith stuff and can use this best are the ones that grew up with imaginary friends. Some of us, or maybe you have grandkids or whatever that have big imaginations or whatever, and they had these imaginary friends and you know, all this stuff, and they kind of had this imaginary world. Well, they get it. You just imagine it's yours, even when you don't see it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, my granddaughter, she gave me some Play-Doh the other day and said, here's your pizza. I'm like, don't look like pizza to me. Well, imagine it's pizza. I said, well, you want me to eat it? And so I'm sorry, I can't go put them on. No, Pa, it's Play-Doh. No, it's pizza. You said it's pizza, not Play-Doh. You know, then she's telling me not to be silly, whatever. But, you know, the thing about it is, you know, we imagine stuff. You know, and you know, as a kid, if you imagine it and it's real, that's how it is. You know, our imagination has to say, you know what? It's real no matter what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says. I have it now. It's mine, even when I don't see it. Now, also, I decided to look up feelings. Or look up, not feelings, look up hope. And I found out that hope is actually a feeling that one is wanted. Nothing more than a feeling. Well, faith is greater than feelings. All right? And I get it. I mean, you know, but a lot of people are in hope when they should be in faith. They want it to happen, but they don't believe it's already happened. Now, looking at the New Living Translation of this verse, it says this: faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. So it shows the reality, you know, of what we hope for. Now, my grandfather says it like this: is it Faith brings into reality of the things that we're hoped for. So it brings into realization. It becomes real. Before that, when we were hoping that wasn't real, but now it's real because we believe. We believe. We believe whether we see it or does it not. It's bringing the things that we hope for into reality, which is that's what it says in the New Living Translation. Bring it into reality. Now, I have seen people come, I traveled many years with my grandfather, seen many healing lines, you know, even as a young kid and growing up actually, working for my grandfather. And in fact, I'm a YouTube sensation. I found that out, I don't know how many people, say, well, I've seen you on YouTube. Now, they didn't see me minister on YouTube. Now, some of them see me, like, dance weird things and whatever. But what they do is every time they see my grandfather ministering on YouTube, they see me standing right by him, like hovering over him. And so I found out that that's what they mean. So, people said, well, I've seen you for years on YouTube. So I found out really they weren't looking for me. They were looking for my grandfather. They just happened to see me. For many years, we would go to have meetings or whatever, have a healing line. And I know a number of times because there are times that you notice that someone got in line. You notice that they came down and I mean, I remember times back at the book table, and they come and, they're looking for product and asking about some things or whatever. And I talked to this one person. I said, well, brother, did you get healed tonight? Well, I sure hope so. Well, wait a minute. If he sure hoped so, was he in faith or was he in hope? He was in hope. Do you know that a lot of times we might not say, I sure hope so, but that's what we're thinking with our own mind. Well, I sure hope so. Even when I say I believe so, you got to believe that you have been healed. Faith is past tense. We have been healed. We have been set free. Do you realize that Jesus already paid the ultimate price? He's not going to go die on the cross again tomorrow. He's already died. He's not going to put you on the cross tomorrow either, even though some people think that's what you need to do. The thing, he's already done it for you. I know people that are hoping and are praying that Jesus will come and do it again. Well, just come on, Jesus, come down here and take care of my situation. Well, if he's already took care of your situation, then why does he need to come and take care of it again? Do you not believe it was good enough the first time? Do you not believe that what Jesus did the first time was good enough for your situation? Are you so special that Jesus has to go do it again? I mean, you think it needs to be like Groundhog Day over and over and over again. If you've ever seen that movie. After a while, it kind of got a little boring. It was the same thing over and over again. If you haven't seen the movie, you have no clue what I'm talking about. Go rent the movie. I think it's pretty decent. I'm not sure. But can't remember because it just was the same thing over and over again. Got to see the movie if you want to know my illustration. But, hoping so is not having. I even heard have talked to people, and they think they're in faith, and they're not really. If they are saying that I'm believing that I'm going to get my healing, that's not past tense. If I'm going to get something, that's out in the future. Going to get means I'm really still in hope, not in faith. Because faith is believing that I have been healed, or I have been set free, or the finances, have been given to me, even when I don't see it yet. That's faith. Because the two elements that most of us believe God for are healing and finances. Now, you can believe God for other things, by the way. I just want to let you know that. But those are the two elements that most people use their faith for. Because that's usually your issues. Everyone has issues, and that's usually yours. And mine. Some of you have some incredible other issues, and we have to use your faith for that as well. Some of you have been using your faith for a spouse, and it's not really working. Just keep believing, brother. And using deodorant helps too. We'll let you know. Taking a shower, being nice, being friendly, not being rude. And actually, you got to talk to people. I mean, you're never going to meet anyone if you can't talk to them. Well, I'm believing that they're going to just show up at my door. Keep believing, brother. I'll keep hoping and praying with you. It's always good to have fun in church sometimes, Boom. But if you're believing you're going to get something, you don't believe you already have it. Faith is now. Faith believes we have it before we see it. What's my evidence is my faith. That's the evidence. In fact, my grandfather always said, you know what? You should get excited when you pray, not when you receive it. Because see, you should be as excited about you receiving it because you receive it the time you pray because you receive it by faith. That's your evidence. You already get the evidence. You already have the evidence. You already have the receipt. Do you realize if you go purchase an item, they're going to give you a receipt? That's evidence that you own that. And most places will not, they won't take it back unless you have the receipt. But you know what? If I give you my item as a gift, and I also give you my receipt, you can still take it back if you want to. In fact, many of you do take Christmas presents back. You know, sometimes I do make it a special exception on Christmas because they know that some of your loved ones and relatives are going to buy you stuff that you don't want. You're going to take it back, you know. So, and if they don't take it back anywhere else, go to Walmart, they'll take it back. So we have sold those in 20 years, they'll still take it back. They're like, we know you have weird relatives and, they re-gifted that from 20 years ago, but they bought it at Walmart 20 years ago before they, it's just been in the box for a while. They were having a garage sale and they figured they'd just give it to you. Anyway, but your receipt is the evidence that you own that. It's kind of like whenever, like you buy a car, you get a title. That title is the evidence. Now, I know some people that leave their title in the glove compartment never do that because you realize if someone takes your car, they also take the evidence that they own it. All right, and I shouldn't have to tell you that, but because that's kind of common sense, but we found out the common sense isn't very common anymore. So you have to tell people that. One time I told someone that, and they said, really? I have all my paperwork. When I bought the car, I put all the paperwork right there in the glove compartment so I wouldn't lose it. I said, did you lease lock your glove compartment? Oh, no, I'm not going to lock that. Then I might lose the key or whatever. Who knows? I'm not going to do that. I said, why don't you give me all your evidence? Let me keep it for you, because I'm... Then if I lose, I'm not sure what to do. But anyway, but you already have the receipt. It belongs to you. The word is the receipt. I've already received my healing. I've already received my blessing. It already belongs to me. I already have the evidence before I even see it. Faith is the evidence. Now going on, let's go a few more verses down. Verse number 6, I'm going to go back to the New King James Version. Verse number 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, without faith, you cannot please God. You know why? Because without faith, you cannot get saved. Do you realize that you have to believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That's faith. And I believe one of the reasons that the scripture is here is because the same faith and the same way you got saved is the same way you get healed. You just believe. The same way you get finances, you just believe. Now, let's just think about this. Going back to imaginary friends and all this kind of things. Think about the gospel. I get it. 80% of the people who live in America say that they're a Christian and they believe in the Bible. But do you realize that, if you landed here from Mars, okay, you know nothing about any kind of religion, knew nothing about anything, and you showed up, and they said, okay, well, what do you believe? Well, I believe that Jesus Christ came, he was God, became a baby, and he was born, and he lived, and then he died on the cross, and by his stripes we were healed. It makes no real sense. And then I'm going to accept him, and he's going to come dwell inside of me. How's he going to dwell inside of you? None of that makes literal sense. And you're thinking, that sounds crazy. But you believe. So, sometimes it sounds crazy to have something before you have, to have something and really don't have it, but you believe anyway. Because it sounds crazy whenever you got saved, even though you don't think it sounds crazy, because we all know, we all believe. But to someone from the outside that never heard it, the whole thing sounds crazy. For God coming down to this earth and to live as a man and all these kinds, and now he lives on the inside of you. And then people say, well, does he live in my heart or does he live in heaven? Because he says he's the right side of the... But really the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you, he is actually in heaven. And that's all confusing. But you believe, right? And we can't please God without believing, you know, because you can't get saved. And the same faith that you use to be saved is the same faith you use to be healed. You just believe. You just believe. Even if it doesn't sound naturally like, well, how's that happen? There is no question. It's an unquestioning belief. I mean, you had an unquestioning belief. Whenever you came and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you didn't question how the whole Bible happened. You didn't question how the earth was null and void, and all of a sudden God said, let there be light, and there was light. How'd that happen? I don't know. I can't explain it. And no scientist can explain it. Nobody can explain it. You just have to believe. There are some things in life you just have to choose to believe. And I choose to believe that Jesus Christ took the stripe on his back for my healing. I choose to believe that he came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. An abundant life is a prosperous life. I believe that he came that I'll have a good life. I believe that I am the head, not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I believe I'm victorious. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I believe all those things. Why? Because God's word says I am. I am what God's word says I am. I can do what God's word says I can do. I can be what God's word says I can be. Now, without faith, I can't please God. Now, here's a thing. I'm about out of time for today, but I want to think about, I've thought about this many times. You know, like the what if I was God or what if I was Jesus thing. So what if I was God or what if I was Jesus? I'm sitting up there and I'm watching somebody that's sick, born again, spirit-filled Christian, been in church all their life. And they're sick and they never ask for help and they never believe and they don't know how to believe. And you would think, I mean, you know, they would know how. And, you know, I would kind of be disappointed. I mean, I think about here, Jesus Christ thinking, you know what I went through to receive your healing? Do you know what all the things I took, all the pain I endured for your healing? I'd be a little mad about that. It wouldn't be too pleasing to me. You know, I think, you know what, though, I think God and Jesus is really proud whenever we act on the faith that we have. And whenever he watched someone, you know, act on the word, I know that my grandfather, I mean, one of the things he got the biggest kick out of, you know, was to watch. I mean, there were some times that he came and, you know, and he just asked some of the singers or some of the young ministers to minister. And he'd get such a kick out of watching them and hearing their stories and seeing how God blessed them. You know, and what because he knew, you know, it was because of his teaching that these people were blessed. They're set free. And you know, think about, you know, how awesome. And, you know, if you want to be pleasing to somebody, I mean, you know, to be a doer of God's word will be pleasing to God. And having faith is just being a doer of God's word. Just being a doer of God's word. Just believe God. It's just that simple. Now faith is the evidence of things I cannot see. I have it now, even whether I don't have to see it before I have it. I have it before I see it. And when people ask me, well, where is it? I say, I got it. Well, where I want to see it. I have it. I'll show you when it's time. It's not time yet. Yeah, but I don't believe you. I don't care what you believe. It's not about what you believe. It's what I believe. What you believe is not important. The Bible never talks about what your friends believe. Now, it does talk about your friends believing with you. That's okay. But it doesn't matter what anybody else believes. You know, maybe they don't have a good imagination. Maybe they don't know how to believe. Now, you know, but it's not my responsibility. I don't care what you believe. I believe what God's word says. You know, and like I said, I've been taught all my life that God says it, I believe it, and settles it. It doesn't matter. I believe it. You know, no one can talk me out of it. You know, if there are times in life where I have what I call faith projects that I believe for certain things that I need, desire, or want. Some things I don't really need to have, but I want to have them. God says that he'll give us the desires of my heart. And my desire, and actually in one of my books I talk about my desire one time was a new set of golf clubs. Did I need it? No. Did it help my golf game? No. Did I look better with all the nice golf equipment? Yes. I was just like the professional golfers of today, except for, you know, until you saw my swing. You know, up until the point where I made contact with the ball, I looked really good. At that point, I didn't release my faith good enough to, you know. So, you know, but God gave me those golf clubs, you know, and it was, it's a great story. I don't have time to tell it. But you know, why? Because I believed and I desired. And I've heard some people say, well, you don't need those things, so you can't believe. I said, why can't I not believe? My grandfather always said this: the only thing you cannot believe for is when something you're believing for concerns somebody else's will. Because if someone else's will is involved, you can't. God's not going to go against their will. If you want to marry someone and they don't want to marry you, God, you know, so for God to bless you, He would have to punish them. And sometimes you feel that way about, you see people, husband and wife, thinking, you know, well, God, no, I'm just kidding. Praise God. God's of you. Now, maybe you can pray that God will touch their hearts, you know, and open up their hearts and let you in, you know. But, you know, you can't pray against their will, you know. And so that's the only thing you can't, you know, believe. If no one else's will is involved, then you can, you know, have at it. Believe for whatever if nobody else's will is involved. If a desire of your heart, faith is unquestioning belief. Faith is now. Faith is the evidence. It is the evidence. And we're going to stop right there. Father God, we just thank you once again for each and every person that's here. And Father, we thank you for this simple little message on faith. And we're going to continue next week with some more simple little messages on faith. And we thank you, Father. Help us to understand that faith is now. That faith is an unquestioning belief. Also understand that faith is the evidence of things we cannot see. It's the things that we hope for, things we believe, but we can have faith in every situation. And help us to be able to stand strong and believe no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is. Help us to be able to just believe. Father God, we thank you for everything you're doing in our midst. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, praise God. First of all, if you are a first-time visitor, we are glad to have you this evening. We have service here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. If you're a first-time visitor, we have the connection team, and they want to take you right now to a special place, and we have a gift for you, and that we want to say thank you for coming, and we're glad you're here. And if you don't have a good church home, looking for a good church home, we would want to say welcome home. And, you know, if you're from outside, make this your church away from home whenever you're in the area. Now, I have standing next to me, I have a bunch of ladies and a bunch of men. The way we do things on Wednesday night, if you need prayer for anything, whether it be salvation, infilling of the Holy Spirit, whether it be healing, or whatever it might be, we have people standing by to pray with you. That's what they're here. They're part of our prayer team, here to pray with you on your situation. Now, we ask that you go. If you happen to be a lady, you go visit the ladies. You know, if you happen to be a gentleman, you go to visit the gentleman. And I always say this because, you know, some people now in the day and age we live in, they don't know what they are. We have, go to one of these guys and with the red on their ushers, and they'll help direct you to where you need to go, all right? Let's all stand up. Turn around, shake hands with two or three people, we'll see you back here on Sunday morning. God bless you. Have a great day. Enjoy the wonderful weather.